Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to Cosmopolitans All The Way With. I'm Paisley Gilmore.
And I'm Laura Capon. And this week we're joined by Catherine, who got divorced in her 20s. And just so you know, this episode might sound a little different because it's one that we recorded in the studio pre-COVID times.
Oh, do you remember being in the studio?
I do. There was a jar of Chubba Chups. It's my favourite thing.
Oh, that was the best bit. I really liked being in an enclosed booth with you. I missed that deeply.
I know, and actually meeting our guests as well.
I know. Oh, it's so much better like getting on with people face to face, isn't it? But
yeah, rather than asking them about their sex life, just not even looking into their eyes, which actually was probably better for them.
Probably much better for them.
So this week I wanted to talk to you because my friend is trying to buy a flat.
Mm.
And basically, does being single hold you back, do you think? Because she really liked this flat, went for a second viewing and then was told she basically couldn't afford it by her mortgage broker, despite the fact that she's on good money herself. And we were just saying, it almost seems like kind of impossible on your own to like get onto the property ladder. And it just kind of sucks.
Definitely. I've thought about this so much. Like all my friends who are buying houses, which by the way is like 1% of my friends, are all people in couples. And
yeah. It makes you think, because she sort of said, it does make you see why people then are just like, just match with someone on Tinder and like, should we just get married?
Yeah.
Not saying that's how every married couple works. But do you know what I mean? It's still kind of like a necessity in some cases.
What's a necessity, sorry, to be coupled up, to buy a house?
Yeah.
Oh my God, definitely. Especially in London as well. I have completely not even ever considered that I will buy a house. Like, it's not even on my radar. It's not even one of my goals.
Same.
Because I don't ever want to live with a partner and I don't want to get married. So it's like, do we just accept that we're just going to rent for the rest of our lives? Like, I'm 31 and I live in a house share. Am I going to live in a house share until I'm 40? Because I'm single?
I'm 34 and I'm living with my parents.
Yeah, but that's COVID relevant.
I win.
In the worst game ever.
But then I was trying to think of some like positives.
Mm.
And then I did think of my friend Lucy P. She's an avid listener. She'll love that shout. I feel like a DJ when I give someone
Lucy
a shout
P.
out. And she actually bought a flat with her friend, basically with her housemate that she lived together. So it's a bit more complicated. And I feel like you have to give more compromise maybe in that sense, because it's not like you are going to be stuck together forever. But I guess I just wanted to throw that in as an example to give us some hope. And also the other positive, I thought, if you somehow do manage to buy a house, or even if you're still renting, at least you can pick, like Paisley, you can pick whatever living situation you want within your budget.
Sex dungeon in the basement.
There we go.
Strap-on room. Yeah, got it.
I can just imagine you walking around a flat with like a 20-something-year-old like estate agent with slick-backed hair. And you're like, and this is where I just put my dildo ring.
Thank you. That, do you know what? Really nice to hear the positives.
Yeah, I actually, do you know what? It took me some time, but then I did think there are ways out. But I guess it's just that little reminder of, I just felt really sorry for my friend because you know, you just think it is just that kind of, A, it's like you can't afford it, and B, oh, you're single because you're doing it on your own.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the double whammy.
Yeah. So, but do you like that I haven't put as a positive, I haven't suggested that anyone should just go and marry a rich person.
I do like that.
I've given you other options here.
Moving.
Carry on
as
you are. Or find a rich friend.
There we go.
I mean, and I'm sure that Catherine as well. I mean, I feel like it's so long ago we spoke to her, but I'm sure she has great advice about changing your living situation.
Oh my God, she definitely does. I remember it.
Shall we skip to past Paisley and Elsie and some much more smooth quality sounding audio?
Yes.
Today we're joined by Catherine, who got married at 22 after what she refers to as a whirlwind romance. She got divorced 3 years later at 25. Now in her 30s, she says she's no longer looking for a happily ever after. Catherine is a writer and she lives in Edinburgh. And hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
We're very happy to.
Yeah. So should we just dive right in? I'm like straight there.
No verbal foreplay, just right in. Sorry, Catherine.
So how old were you when you met your ex? Should we just say ex?
Yeah. I was 21. We met and fell in love really quickly. We were living together within 2 months of meeting. Yeah, he lived in Glasgow and I lived in Edinburgh, and I spent every weekend at his house, so it just ended up being the case that I ended up just moving in.
And hang on, so you moved to Glasgow?
Yeah, I moved in with him.
Yeah.
I just uprooted my life because I was so in love with him.
That's so nice.
Can I ask where you... I always love a love story, even if it doesn't have a happy ending. Where did you meet?
We met online in the infancy of internet dating.
Plenty of fish?
It was Match.com, actually. I think I got a free trial in here. I met him on the free trial, so I got myself a good deal. I was sort of tired of... I think I'd explored the Edinburgh dating pool to its fullest, so I decided to set my net further afield and see if I could find someone...
Up that radius.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's not too bad. It's 45 minutes on a train.
Oh, okay.
You know, sometimes it can take me that to get across Edinburgh, so that's fine. And I thought, we just clicked right away, and we spent so much time together, it just made sense to move in with each other. Wow. And he was 29 when we met,
older.
Yeah, but he was, you know, I was always attracted to someone a bit older, a bit more mature. And he was started in his career. He was a journalist and had a really good job and really enjoyed his work. And there's something really sexy about someone who's good at their job and really enjoys it. It's like somebody with a talent, and you think, oh, that's really attractive.
I completely agree.
Yeah, with a passion.
Yeah.
So did you know then you were like, I love you and I want to marry you straight away? Or
yeah, I'd never really felt like that before. I had dated a string of losers, and he was the complete opposite. Yep, he was the complete opposite of that. And you know that thing where you think, oh wow, this is it. Mm-hmm. About 2 weeks after we met, I went on a holiday to America, and there was, I don't know if it's sweet or creepy, he used to phone me in the phone box in the hotel every day at the same time to speak to me.
That is sweet. I'm into it.
Because it was really difficult, like international roaming and things were really expensive in those days. So he said, give me the number of the phone box in the hotel lobby. So he phoned me every day at the same time.
I was on holiday with you, I'd be like, fuck.
Yeah,
she's off again.
Yeah, my mum and my sister-in-law were not having it. They were like, yeah, this is ridiculous. You've only known him a couple of weeks.
Did they support your move and like how quickly things were going?
Yeah, they were slightly concerned. They thought, this is all a bit fast. But then they met him and they fell in love with him. And my brother particularly, it's like another brother to him. He really, really got on with him really well. They were very, very similar.
Yeah.
They welcomed him in. He was an only child and his mum lived in the Czech Republic. So he didn't really have a close family. So my family were quite happy just to take him in and welcome him into our family, which was lovely.
So you got married... How long after meeting?
Exactly 5 months. It wasn't planned it was going to be exactly 5 months. It just so happened we picked a location that we really wanted to get married in. We got married in the Gleneagles Hotel in Perthshire, which trivia fact, was recently featured in Succession.
I love Succession.
The second series of Succession, they went to Scotland and they stayed in Gleneagles.
That massive castle.
Dude,
rolling in it for a journalist.
Married there.
It was a beautiful day. We got married in quite a small room, but
at the back.
Don't ruin it.
But my dad actually to this day still has a receipt from the bar when he bought drinks because it was so expensive and so fancy that he had to like tell all his friends about it. I was like, yeah, that was ridiculous. I spent £90 on a round of drinks.
Shit.
I ask, you don't have to say, but did you two pay for the wedding or did your parents contribute?
We paid for the wedding ourselves. It was quite a small wedding. My parents did offer to pay something, but in the end, we just took some money for our honeymoon. We went to the Loire Valley and toured around there, went to lots of vineyards, ate lots of really, really good food, and I didn't want to come home.
Can I wind back to the proposal?
Yeah.
Did you know it was going to happen?
Well, we did it kind of backwards. What happened was we found out that this specific date, the 12th of March, was available at Gleneagles. It was either going to be that or it was going to be much later on in the year. And that thing where you really want to get married to someone, you just want it to happen now. We didn't want to wait. So we're like, right, we'll go for March. And I said, I'm fine. I don't need an engagement ring. We've decided we're going to get married. We'll tell our families. And that was, I wasn't expecting anything. And then at midnight on February the 13th, he got down on one knee and proposed like with a ring. And I was really surprised. I was like, why are you spending money on a ring? I don't need one. I'm already going to marry you. So he bought me a diamond ring and that was a surprise. burst into tears. Even though I'm not an overly emotional person, I properly blubbed.
I've never been proposed to, I don't think. Paisley has either.
No, mate, come on.
But when that does happen, do you, I don't mean this in a mean way, but do you really think, yes, I am going to spend the rest, like, do you panic in that moment? Do you think, do I want to?
It was kind of, I think it just made it all the more real because at the time, you know, we just booked a venue and bought some flowers and, you know, that all sort of felt far away and abstract. And then it's like, oh, there's a ring and, oh, this is happening. And it did kind of feel like more like, oh, wow, this is reality's kicking in and this is quite scary. But everyone was, you know, like really surprised that there was now a ring and they're like, oh, so this is actually happening. Yes, it is actually happening. We've paid a deposit. That's all going ahead. And yeah, it did make it feel more real. Than maybe it had been when we'd just been, you know, booking a hotel suite and arranging flowers and buying a dress.
I mean, it all sounds pretty serious to me.
I don't know
about you. You were 22 when you married.
Yeah.
So what was it like when you were first married and when did it start? When did you start to think, oh, maybe it's not?
Well, the first year, we just went on loads of holidays. I think we went on four holidays in our first year. Together, so it was lovely. We spent so much time together, and it was really, the honeymoon period lasted almost a year. And then I went to college to study journalism, which is how I ended up in this job. And he had encouraged me. I had previously worked in admin, and he said, "You're a really good writer. Why are you not doing this? Why are you not pursuing this?" So he supported me as I went to college to study journalism. But I think going to college made me realise, and being around people my own age made me realise that, oh, I have settled down incredibly young. Everyone was going out till 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm saying, oh, I've got to go home. I have a husband. And he wasn't really a big drinker. He wasn't really into going out. He was very much a homebody. And things, you know, we started to have separate social lives, which I think is always a bad idea in a relationship when, you know, you can sense that you're both moving in different directions and different circles. And then when he turned 30, he really, really wanted to have a kid. He became incredibly broody.
Was this something you'd spoken about
We had spoken about it before, and I'd said that I wasn't really comfortable with having kids. It wasn't something that I felt that was part of my future. And he said, well, you know, you never know how you'll feel in the future. Mm. And, you know, it's quite a fundamental thing to change your mind about on a whim. And he was sort of really adamant about the having kids thing. And I said, I'm really not sure this is part of my future. I had just become an auntie and I was very much into having an auntie, but also cemented the fact that I don't want to have one of my own. And that became a big sticking point in our relationship. He was desperate to be a father and I was desperate not to be a mother and to sort of explore my 20s and go out and have fun. And yeah, I'd say growing apart and growing up and growing apart was really the thing that killed our relationship.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel you fell apart as quickly as you fell in love?
Yes, I think I am quite a passionate person. And yeah, as passionately as I fall in love, I can passionately fall out with someone. And I'm very good at holding a grudge as well.
Aren't we all?
Same.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, I think the passion that we had at the beginning very much fed into the breakdown of our marriage. The sort of the last year of our marriage was very tumultuous. A lot of shouting and arguing, sleeping in separate beds. It wasn't a lot of fun. But I felt that I needed to keep sticking it out because I didn't want to be a failure. I didn't want to go back to my parents and say, well, it didn't work out. Because I knew that so many people had, you know, I was expecting the I told you so's because yeah. So many people had expected us to fail because I was too young and we did it too quickly.
You didn't want to prove them right.
Almost. Yeah, didn't want to prove them right. So we stuck it out for a year of arguing and tormenting each other and then eventually said, we can't do this anymore. It's just not healthy to live in this.
Do you think it was mutual that he also fell out of love with you, or do you think that was a byproduct of you falling out of love with him?
I think it was mutual. I think we mutually began to despise each other.
So sad.
Yes. I think once he realised that the kids thing was something he would never be able to talk me into, that was it. And it's something like that. It's not something you can persuade someone, you know. Mm-hmm. If someone fundamentally does not want to have children, you'll never be able to persuade them otherwise, I think, if they've got that idea in their head.
Maybe he just thought as well, because you were younger, that...
Yes, he did think
of, like, you'll change your mind.
People say that to me all the time, and I'm like, I know my mind. That's patronising. And
yeah, I mean, I think when I was about 12, I think when I first said to my mum, I'm never going to have kids. And I think she's the only person I know who actually wanted her daughter to have a teenage pregnancy. She was so desperate to be a grandmother that she was absolutely willing for me to go and have a kid as soon as I possibly could. And I said, no, it's not part of my plan. Luckily, my brother has two children, so fulfilled that need.
The pressure's off
you.
Yes,
the pressure is off. But yeah, I think once you have something that splits you so divisively, it's really difficult to come back from that.
Who said the D word first? Divorce, basically.
I think it was him, because at first I said, right, well, we can separate, we can see how it goes. And he says, well, if we're going to separate, it really needs to be a divorce, it needs to be final. And I said, well, that's fine. I have no idea how you get a divorce. Do I have to Google that? because the thing is, none of my friends were even married at the time. So I was the only person who'd been married, let alone divorced or separated. So it was all very strange.
And you were 25 at this point, were you? Okay.
So it was, I had to move back home, which was a real culture shock. I first left home when I was 17. So
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I was used to being independent. So moving back home as a mid-20s divorcee was very strange.
What effect did that have on your like confidence and self-esteem?
Yeah, it was really strange. I mean, I immediately regressed back into the child role because I'm the youngest child. I immediately went back to being like a teenager. And it was quite argumentative. And also because I was in pain, I was heartbroken. And although I knew that the marriage had to end, it still didn't make it any less painful when I moved back home. And yeah, my self-esteem totally took a dive. And it was really difficult to sort of have the confidence to even see people because I felt so humiliated when people saw me and they're like, "Oh, how are you doing?" And it's like, "Well, I've moved back home and I'm getting a divorce." And everyone would sort of, the head tilt and the,
It's so frustrating that divorce is seen as a sign of failure. Because if anything, it's like, we recognise this wasn't right and it's a positive change, I think. Did you?
Yeah, because because we had sort of tried for years to sort of make it work. And I know people who've been in relationships where they have tried for years to make something work and they have absolutely destroyed the other person that they're with and hurt themselves. And I just think you have to make that decision and cut your losses and say, it's not working. We need to do this for the sake of our, you know, mental health as well as anything. Because it's not a nice environment to live in when you're constantly fighting and bickering and trying to win points against the other one. It's just, it's exhausting.
You know that saying, better to have loved and lost? Do you wish you'd never met him or never got married?
No. I think it was the most transformative relationship I've ever had in my life. When I met him, I had incredibly low self-esteem, low self-worth. I had imagined that I would spend the rest of my life in rubbish admin jobs, not making anything of my life because I didn't deserve any better. And through him, I discovered my love of writing again. And he gave me sort of the confidence and the push I needed to sort of change my life. And we saw so many countries together and we experienced so many things together that I would never want to give that up and erase that. I mean, it was hard, but also it showed me sort of what I was capable of and what, you know, love is great when you have it.
Yeah, and your whole career now, that's so true. It grew you as a person.
Yeah.
And how did it transform the way you view relationships or the way you think about what you'd like in the future?
I think it's made me realise that marriage is not something that I'm really comfortable with again. I don't think I would ever get married again. I'm quite firm on that. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy dating. I love dating. I love people. But I just don't see me being comfortable being in a long-term relationship and being tied to someone in that way again. I like my freedom. I like to be able to go off on holiday when I like and sort of be impulsive and go off on a whim and take a job somewhere. And I feel that if I was in a relationship, that would probably dull that.
Do you think marriage is just outdated now?
I think possibly. I think for some people it works. I mean, the idea of marriage, I mean, when you think about it in olden times, you know, you only live to your 40s or 50s and, you know,
you can endure someone.
Marriage was quite a short prospect. And now, you know, you've got, there's a spike in divorces, I think, in the over 65s, because I think that thing that you're meant to be with someone forever, I think it's really difficult because you realise that forever is a lot longer than you had anticipated. Mm-hmm. I think it probably is an outdated notion. And I think just the way that dating has changed, that, you know, the whole landscape has changed. It's so much easier to date than it used to be with apps. And
did you get back on the apps after you divorced?
I did. And it was weird because the app's not so much because you don't generally put that you're divorced in your bio, but if you go on a traditional dating site and, you know, you put in your divorce, and 9 times out of 10 I'll get a question like, "Oh, you're divorced." Not now that I'm in my 30s, but when I was in my 20s, it's like, wow, that's really uncommon. What's that? Tell me your story.
Would that be their opening line?
A couple of times, yeah. They're like, you know, something they would pick up on. Like, whoa.
And do you think there was a judgment that came with that?
Yeah, I definitely think there was a judgment that came with that, whereas I would never have questioned dating someone who was divorced that it would be a bad thing. I'd probably think it was a good thing because at least they had committed. Mm-hmm. It's like, I know you've committed.
And you can do that again.
You can do that again.
Do you think then it's like a gendered thing?
Yeah, I definitely think there's a sexism in with regards to divorce. Divorced women are seen as, you know, failures and, you know, potential to become cat ladies.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with being
cats.
Nothing wrong with being a cat lady. Whereas divorced men, as I say, they've committed, they've taken that leap, and I think it's more like, oh, poor you. I have friends who've dated divorced men who've said that, oh, the poor man, look at what he's been through. It's like, what about the poor, what about his ex-wife? You know, you don't know what's going on there.
I would say, though, if I'm on a dating app and a guy's divorced, it puts me off a little, because I just worry that there's, like, baggage there.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's the thing, the baggage.
And that's the problem with a dating app, isn't it? Because it's, and you haven't got to know someone, you're just purely judging them on these, like, stats and vitals and whether you want to date them.
But the likelihood is that whoever you date will have had long-term meaningful relationships probably, so there's going to be baggage regardless, like, whether they were married or not, right? No one comes to you fresh out the box.
Totally agree.
Oh, sorry. sorry, mate.
I know, I really agree. I think it's just the dating app format that you... It's like you're just picking of, like, well, if I don't have to, then I guess... No,
right. Like,
I think just how it's presented.
Yeah,
because you don't have anything else to judge them on.
Yeah, no, I think the baggage thing is definitely something that is thrown around with women a lot. Because I know men who will filter out women who have kids, who've been divorced.
Yeah,
And I think that's wow, that's ridiculous. And as you say, you know, you could have been in a long-term relationship for 16 years or 6 years, and you know that doesn't make it any less valid than a marriage, but you know, everyone has their own baggage. It's part of life.
You said to me that your ex-husband actually moved on and got married quite quickly. Is that
right?
Yeah,
he got remarried 4 years after we got divorced.
He was hell-bent on marriage and kids, right?
Yeah, he had a baby the year later. So, yeah, he was very much on that track of, I need to get married and I need to have a baby. And that is fine. He got what he wanted and I have absolutely no problems with that. Just as I got to experience my 20s a little bit later than I had anticipated. I had a few years of domesticity. And then, yeah, got to go out and date around and sort of find out what I want, which is to have as much fun as I can whilst also keeping my independence.
I think that shows it was the right thing to do because you've both done. You've done your career thing.
Yeah.
He's done the baby family thing.
And
you would
happy.
Never have done it together.
Yeah.
Are you still friends? Do you keep in touch?
Not anymore. But it's just sort of not for any malicious reasons, just that we just don't sort of move in the same circles anymore. He's friends with my brother and sister-in-law. My brother and him were very close in age and personality, so yeah, it's not malicious reasons, it's just that we just don't have any sort of thing in common anymore, and it sometimes feels so long ago that it's difficult to remember what it was like to be together, which is strange.
It almost doesn't feel real, does it, when you look back on things like that,
especially if you've then been apart for longer than you were together.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, it's because it was so long ago and our time together was so short that it does feel like, wow, did that really happen? Yep, that was, you know, it was like another life ago.
And what advice do you give to your friends now who say, oh, they're thinking about getting married? Do you give any? Do you stay out of it?
I do generally stay out of it. I think there's only one of my close friends who isn't married now. One has been divorced and one is on their second marriage. She's very keen on marriage. And I do. I'd sort of became the go-to breakup guru because I'd been through a proper breakup. I don't know. They usually, you know, give me air quotes when they say that. I became the sort of go-to breakup guru and sort of advice. And if I leave this relationship, is my life going to be over? And it's like, no. It's
like, no, look at me.
No, it's fine. Yeah. And there was my friends were really good and they did rally around me when I moved home and took me out and got me drunk and sort of put me back together, which is great. And I'm always happy to repay the favour. But, you know, I don't have anything against marriage. And it's whilst my friends are happy to settle down, as I say, it's just not something that I'm going to be comfortable with. So I can give my advice on don't tell all your wedding suppliers that this is for a wedding, because they will automatically add 50% to the bill. So I can give them wedding tips and how to have a cheap wedding, but I can't really tell them how to live happily ever after, unfortunately.
There's no such thing, right?
No.
Okay.
So I know I asked at the beginning about who paid for the wedding, and that was just thinking further down the line if your parents, if they had paid and they were kind of angry about it. But when you did divorce, what happened in terms of money?
Well, that was a strange thing, because I had moved in with him and I was a student. I was working in a bar, so I didn't really have a lot of money. I had a lot of credit card debt though, because we went on a lot of nice holidays and I felt bad about not paying for anything. So I took out some credit cards, and when we got divorced and I moved back home, I was like sort of left with a lot of debt, which I didn't really consider, you know, the financial aspect of it, because he was so good and he took the financial burden for a lot of things because he was, you know, the main breadwinner in our relationship. And I think that was one of the difficult things. It took me quite a while actually to get out of that debt, because I had sort of been living as a student who also enjoyed the finer things in life, and then sort of coming back home to a bump and realising that, oh, actually I have to pay all this off and I don't really have anyone to support me through it. And I didn't tell my parents about it because I was quite embarrassed that I had run up, I think about £15,000 worth of debt as a student. Which I think is quite normal.
Yeah, people just don't talk about it.
No. So yeah, that took a while to get out of, which was another thing that I was proud of, that I did manage to pay my way out of, work my way out of that debt. But I think that's also something that comes up when I speak to friends, that they are in relationships and they feel that it's difficult to leave because they feel that they can't financially leave, they can't afford to live on their own or move out, pay a deposit. Because a lot of the time it's either in joint names or it might be in their partner's name, the house they live in. And I think that is something that is not talked about often enough, and I say can be quite embarrassing and humiliating at the time, that you have to admit that I actually don't have the money to do this.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have that money if you then had to just pay a lump sum to pay someone out. Had you, because you moved into his...
Yeah.
Had you split the mortgage and things equally? Was that ever? Did you ever kind of explore with a lawyer or a solicitor?
I said I was quite happy to leave with my debt. He could keep everything that he had and I would just leave with my debt and that would be fine. We were lucky that we didn't have any shared assets. I have had a friend who's gone through a divorce and that was quite a difficult thing because of the shared assets in the home, and you have to go into who contributed what. And I contributed some pizzas and beers when we were on holiday. I paid for a lot of pizza and Friday night takeaways, but my job didn't really pay for much at all.
What about the cost of the actual divorce?
The actual divorce itself was only about £500, because what we did
cheap.
Yeah, well, it was comparatively cheap because we had because we didn't involve any lawyers, we didn't have any assets. If we had started to involve lawyers and had to split things, it would be, we'd be talking £500 an hour to go through a divorce. We were lucky that we were able to have quite a simple divorce based on the fact that we were living apart and weren't going to reconcile and we didn't have any children.
So it is really better to divorce on amicable terms, because then you don't have the back and forth.
And that's the thing. We did keep in touch quite a lot during the time that we were apart, for the divorce, and just checked in with each other. We had to send forms back and forward and we kept it amicable. But I know for a lot of people that's not an option. Sometimes when they leave, they have to make a clean break for it.
Yeah. So ultimately, it did cost you money and you did go home and have to live with your parents and pay off loads of debt, but it was ultimately a really good thing for you.
Yeah. No, it was something that made me realise how resilient I am. I went into that relationship, you know, with quite low self-esteem and came out with a lot more confidence. and the love that I had sort of made me feel that I can love again, and I can't think of something.
You're going to make us cry.
Yeah, why am I suddenly excited to get divorced?
You are. When she heard it was 500 quid, she was like, fuck it.
Can't wait to get divorced.
Well, thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Thank you, Catherine.
Oh, I really loved Catherine. Did you?
Yeah, I thought she was really inspiring, I'd say. Because I do think there's, with divorce, there is still that stigma attached to it. And especially, I guess, doing it so young. Mm. But I love how she was kind of just like, kind of unfazed by it almost to an extent and is in such a happier place now.
Oh my God, yeah. I think it's still seen as like a failure, isn't it? Like people who are divorced are often thought of as like, oh, that didn't work out. But actually, I think it shows like incredible commitment to making yourself happy. You're like, that thing wasn't right for me. I'm making a big life change to do something that is right for me. I don't know. I think it's really like, I think it's a green flag as opposed to a red flag in someone.
Exactly. And it's really brave because I think you could just stay being unhappy and then what get to sort of, I'm using quote marks, a more appropriate age and get divorced. And like, what a waste of like your life and their life.
Exactly. I think a lot of couples do that and stay together just because, you know, we're married, so we should. It's like, no. YOLO, as they say. Do they still say that?
Literally no one says YOLO anymore.
Okay.
This brings us to the end of this episode of Cosmopolitan's All The Way With. Thanks to Catherine for joining us and to you for listening. If you have any sex questions or dating dilemmas, message us on Twitter or Instagram at Cosmopolitan UK.
Cosmopolitan's All The Way With was recorded by Number 8 Studios and is available to download on Acast, iTunes and all the usual podcast apps.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.